Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, off and running. We were off yesterday on King Day. We're back live. It is Tuesday, January 16th, 2024. We launched into the 14th year of our radio program at the beginning of this month. That makes my 36th year in Tucson Media. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, the radio station, one of five here owned by Bustos Media Tucson. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, also the place for all of our podcasts, our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs, whose unique role in representing Tucson's interests began with a 10-year stint on the staff of famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to sub-cabinet position by President Carter, subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. Also, you can look for Terry's op-eds in the Arizona Daily Star. In fact, there was one this past Sunday talking about how former President Trump has morphed into Trumpism as we approach the most important presidential election in nearly a century. Hey, Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing fine, thank you. How about you?
doing pretty well. Before we talk, politics, I think you would probably, I know you've been following the University of Arizona football coach, decided, hey, I'm off to Seattle and the University of Wisconsin, jump ship. And then today, San Jose State's Brent Brennan was hired as the new football coach. He, I believe, played under Dick Tomey, under Coach Tomey. So that's the way that's shaping up.
Well, there are a lot of good coaches, young coaches out there, and it seems like the program's been put together again pretty well. I'm really a big basketball fan, so you know I have a real passion about our basketball team, and it's fun to watch our football team in the years that we do well. So hopefully that'll continue under the new coach.
Hope so. All right. Iowa yesterday. Let me ask you, Terry Bracey, I just don't get it with DeSantis and Nikki Haley investing all this money and time. Obviously, Trump is the choice. Trumpism is Republicanism pretty much these days. I don't get it. Fill us in. What am I missing?
Well, Bill, that's first of all, I was reading the New York Times this morning about this great victory that Trump had, and he won. But let's look at some numbers. I was a campaign manager, and I look at numbers. So there are 700,000 Republican registrants in the state of Iowa. 100,000 voted last night. That's 14%. Of that 14%, 7% voted for former President Trump. So if 7% is a world-class mandate, then I don't know what I'm talking about. I think it's the reporting in politics has really gone downhill.
Yep.
You know, that is not a real indication of a huge amount of support. Of that 7%, most of it came from evangelical Christians in rural areas, and it's always been a puzzle to me how Trump, you know, with his various activities, appeals to the evangelicals. Although a friend of mine, who is an evangelical, told me that they feel that he's a protector, that they've lost ground over the last decades, and that Trump might not be their kind of person, but he will protect them. So maybe that's why. But I don't see it as a huge victory. Do you? Really?
Well, but he did win every county in Iowa, didn't he?
Yeah. He won heavily in the rural counties, narrowly. in the urban counties. But again, Bill, you're talking about 14% of the Republican electorate. He got 7% of the vote. So anyway, call it what you will. I don't disagree. I think your point about Trump and Trumpism is devastatingly correct. And there's another issue that I'd love you to bring up with when you talk
with Shelley.
To Shelley about economics, and that is, what would be the impact on the American dollar if Trump were to be elected again, if that chaos were to reign? I don't think that the average American has any real sense of how much danger Trump is to our economy and our standing in the world.
Okay.
Anyway, that's just a subject I'd like to learn about from Shelley.
I will ask
but
him.
Yeah. It's Trumpism for sure.
So let's leave the Trumpism for a moment and talk. Well, I guess you can't leave Trumpism because Trumpism is part of a possible. Those backing Trump could be sending us to the brink of another government shutdown.
Yeah. Well, here we are again. But I have to say, I was very cynical about the appointment of Speaker Johnson. But I have to say, I want to give him a star next to his name because he seems to be the kind of politician who really doesn't want to destroy. He wants to bring people together. And he has decided to move ahead with a deal that was done before he was speaker and before many of these people got involved in it on the right. And he wants to stick with the deal. And in order to make that work, it looks like we're going to have a deal on immigration. And this is something President Biden is going to have to do. He's going to have to swallow some of his promises. It's interesting what they're talking about. I don't know how I feel about it, but there's a new program they want to institute called FERM, F-E-R-M, Family Expedited Removal Management. And that would, instead of as people come seeking asylum across the border, we tend to move them into facilities. All those facilities, as we know in Tucson, are way overcrowded. And what they're debating and may pass is as part of this bill, I don't think there's going to be a shutdown. As part of this bill is a ankle thing. If families come in, they can keep the families together. The head of the family would wear an ankle bracelet.
Huh.
Interesting idea. Yeah. I don't know what to think of it, but it might be a lot better than being put in a facility.
And did I hear you say you don't think there will be a shutdown?
No, I don't think so. I think we come to the edge of the cliff every time. But we're in the midst of two wars and Lord knows what. And I don't think that they're going to take it to the limit. I don't.
Getting back to the Trump-Biden race, which that's what we have, like it or not, and a lot of Americans, Terry Bracey, don't like it. They wish it was they wish there were other people running. How do you see that shaping up right now? Do you put much stock in these polls showing Biden quite a ways down in the polls?
No, I don't. I don't. I think that it will be in a very different world politically by the time we get to November. I mean, for maybe Joe Biden will decide to do what President Johnson did and step aside, and we'd have a different nominee. Maybe something physically would happen to former President Trump. He's grossly overweight and eating his hamburgers every day. I'm jealous of him, but I don't want to do that.
So,
we don't know.
You're saying that?
No,
yeah.
Well, there's the best poll in Iowa is done by the Des Moines Register.
Yeah,
and they last week asked all the Republicans if you're for DeSantis or if you're for Haley, half of Haley's voters, is that Haley, that's how you say her name, half of her voters said that they would vote for President Biden over our man, Mr. Trump.
Hmm.
So that tells me that there's a lot of leakage coming on the Republican side.
Okay.
So maybe I'm too much of an optimist, but no, I think this election is shaping up to be a disaster for the Republican Party, and they deserve it.
All right. Terry Bracey, thank you very much, Terry. Enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Terry Bracey with us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Want to talk about my favorite bakery in town? It's easy. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Man, I had the most beautiful piece of carrot cake from Mona's over the weekend. Thought I would just have a bite in the car. I hate to say it. Pretty much polished it off driving home. I'll be honest about it. Anyway, it was that good. Mona's Danish Bakery, they're open. Today is Tuesday. That means they are open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast at 6:30. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. All right, Shelley Fishman is coming up next, and the market's down again. Darn it, with all that stuff going on with Boeing, kind of putting a drag on the 2024 indices, at least the Dow anyway, so far. We'll be right back with Shelley. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez in 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez in 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website ChavezIn67.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how's your week going so far?
Well, based on the stock market today, not too well.
Well, Boeing is a member of the Dow.
Yeah,
right?
And the Dow is down, and Boeing's problems are dragging some of their suppliers and customers down as well. But the S&P is down, and so is the NASDAQ. So I have to blame it on something else. And I think one of the things, and Terry was absolutely right to alert people to this, the likelihood of a Trump candidacy emerging, not just because he'd win the nomination, but because he might win it, you know, with the kind of numbers that would be so compelling that it would be very hard to beat him. That's very alarming. I mean, as Terry said, Lord knows what he'd do.
And Terry wanted you to address what the impact of a Trump, a second Trump presidency would be on the American dollar.
Yeah. How can I not get too political about this, but let me say that I agree with Terry's concern. As you know, if you take a look at the history of how the economy fares under Democratic presidents and under Republican presidents, we've had, 15 recessions since World War II, 12 or 13 of them during Republican administrations. You know, I've been beating that horse until it's, you know, quite dead. We also see that even when there haven't been recessions, the economic results in terms of GDP growth, stock market growth, unemployment, et cetera, during Republican administrations isn't quite as good as under Democratic administrations, but it ain't terrible. Mm-hmm. Okay. But Trump is. Trump does things that are not typically what Republicans would do. And simply causing instability, causing uncertainty in the world about how we would behave in the international sphere would cause other countries that rely on the dollar specifically for stability to look elsewhere, either to the euro or to the Chinese currency, potentially, you know, a withdrawal from Ukraine could make Russia a lot stronger. So this would all destabilize the United States' influence in the economic stability of the world. And that would eventually flow back into this country's GDP and various indices. As unemployment here would go up, inflation would probably rise. The things that Trump has done in the past, if he is allowed to do those things in a more unrestricted way, which most pundits say, you know, it would be part of a new Trump administration, that would not be good for the economy. There would be some protectionism. Some people might think that's good for the economy, but you know, if the dollar becomes less stable as a result of it, if he slaps tariffs on things, it's just a bad idea.
Let me ask you about these commercials. You see the guaranteed life insurance guarantees.
Oh yeah.
what's going on here?
Well,
it seems so, too good to be true.
Well, it's not too good to be true. except, yeah, you have to understand, the first thing you have to understand is life insurance is a very important component of the financial plans for families. Some families need it more than others, but it's always something that in various stages of your life, as a couple, as a family, whatever, that you should consider, especially if you have one person as the primary wage earner, protecting that person's income flow should something happen to that person is really important. That said, there are lots of kinds of life insurance. What I can say about all of them is that you need to get competitive quotes. So, you know, if somebody calls and you know, they're very charming on the phone and they want to sell you life insurance, the reaction is, send me a quote and I will get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think there was an ad on the news program just before we came on the air. From reputable companies, the price for life insurance can be very different. Mm-hmm. Now, part of that can be that it's a different kind of life insurance. Part of it can be that there are no price guarantees to certain kinds. In some cases, it's term insurance versus universal insurance versus whole life insurance. All of that means that you as the buyer need to be aware and understand that there are lots of things that relate to the price of life insurance. To your direct question, which is this must issue or guaranteed whole life insurance, for some people, some limited number of people, guaranteed issue policies might be all you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, and you really think it's worth the money, it might be not a bad idea to consider. However, if you are three steps away from dying, But for most people, going through the health questionnaire, going through the examination, et cetera, will result in a better price for whole life or any other kind of insurance than this guaranteed issue stuff. And, you know, you hear on TV, $9.95, what's my price? I'm 70 years old. $9.95, what's my price? I just turned 80. $9.95. What they're not telling you is that it's for different amounts of insurance. And the older you get, the less insurance buys, you know, your $9.95
for $9.95.
You know, buys you. It is so important as a consumer, I believe, that, you know, you might wind up with a policy from one of those sponsors, but you as an individual have a responsibility to yourself and your family to make sure that you're buying the right kind of life insurance and that life insurance that you're buying is not the kind of life insurance that is kind of a last desperate kind of life insurance. But if you can get something that is more reasonably priced because you can pass muster in terms of your health, etc., that's always a better deal. Find an independent life insurance producer and get quotes from different companies. You know, go through the shtus, if you will, of all the aggravation that, you know, you go through when you consider these kinds of things, but you won't be sorry in the end.
Do you have time to give us an update on the inflation numbers? Now we know pretty much the picture for 2023.
We got numbers last Thursday or Friday, I think it was. Inflation for 2023 is coming in at around 3.1%. It ticked up a couple of tenths of a percent in December, but overall it's been dropping pretty precipitously during that year. And so at 3.1%, inflation is not where the Fed wants it to be, and that's something that, you know, the Fed's going to have to keep in mind. We have a Fed meeting the last week in January. You know, they may, as a result of that uptick of a couple of tenths of a point, delay any reductions in interest rates. Once you start talking about interest rates, Bill, you're talking about a whole lot of effects on the economy that, you know, in regard to mortgages, in regard to fixed income families. You know, if you're on Social Security and on fixed income, this inflation has been not too bad for you. got a good, you know, good hit on Social Security, and if you've got, you know, fixed income investments, they're doing better. On the other hand, if you are trying to sell your house or get a mortgage right now, not the time. Mm-hmm. So it's a mixed deal. It's a mixed, you know, the results are mixed for different people. However, if you take a look at this economy in general, based upon how the Biden administration has been managing it, it's pretty good. It's very, very strong. We're the envy of the world, and we just have to make sure that the things that are still to do get done.
Okay. On that note, Shelley Fishman. Shell, I hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Coming up next, going to have an interesting discussion about race in America on this week where we honor the impact of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm really liking this weather after those 10 days of really, really cold weather. A beautiful weekend, a great opportunity to get out in the backyard and do some gardening, and that leads me to really gardening central in this town, and that's Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. On their 13 acres, you will find everything you need for the garden and very, very knowledgeable salespeople. Just ask them what will do well now as we are transitioning. We might have another couple of nights of freezing before, say, St. Patrick's Day. But generally, they can point you in the right direction because there are, as I have discovered, there are some beautiful plants that are frost tolerant. And then you won't have to worry about, like I did, going out and covering everything. And so that can be a real pain. Anyway, it's greenthingsaz.com and their sister business for that great pottery and beautiful imported items from really all over the world. That's zocalovillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Communities across the nation celebrated Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday yesterday with acts of service, prayer services and parades, and observed federally since 1986. The holiday occurs on the third Monday of January, which this year happened to be Dr. King's actual birthday. He was born in 1929. The slain civil rights leader would have been 95 years old. For the next half hour, we're going to be talking about race relations in America with our friend Keith McIntosh. Keith is Vice President for Information Services and Chief Information Officer at the University of Richmond in Virginia. He's a former Pima Community College administrator. Keith has a distinguished nearly quarter century service record in the United States Air Force, including a combat tour in northern Iraq. He is a sought-after thought leader and keynote speaker on leadership, diversity, equity, inclusion, and just belonging. He created an interesting program called Intersections at the University of Richmond, where students, faculty, and staff get together and meet weekly for a cross-culture conversation. Keith joins us now on the live line. Hey, Keith, how are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you, Bill? Good to be with you.
Doing well, hanging in there, as they say. Want to talk a little bit about, we have not visited with you over the last couple of years, and I always enjoy our conversations, and we kind of took some time off during the pandemic, but before the pandemic, you had told our listeners and articulated this Intersections program. You're still up and running, and how's it doing?
Yeah, thank you for asking. At first, I want to say, since this is my first time chatting with you, I just want to pass on my respect and condolences on the loss of your lovely wife, Anne.
Thank you.
I've loved watching you all via Facebook and your travels, and I miss Anne. I know I don't miss as much as you do, but I know that's going to be challenging. So thank you. I wanted to say that.
And I want to say one thing about that, and I've been very open and transparent about Anne, and my goodness, you know, being given a terminal death sentence, in effect, right after we had come back from the Caribbean and on a honeymoon. I looked at every travel with Anne as a honeymoon. We took three trips a year for like over 50 years. It really has been devastating, but I've been very open and transparent about, what has gone on. And it's been five months tomorrow that we said goodbye to Anne. But I think transparency is a key here in grief. It's something usually people do not want to talk about. And in some ways, I'm going to segue here, Keith, into the conversation that you have in Intersections and talking about not grief, but about race. It's very difficult, like grief, to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely is. So thank you for that entry into this conversation. So for those who don't know, I've been doing actively in this space, having conversations. I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I'm a layperson who's very versed in it and very passionate about it. And we had, back in 2017, 2016, we had that Unite the Right rally that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, which is about 60 minutes from where I live. And my wife and I had just visited Charlottesville. And that Unite the Right rally was really kind of a white nationalist conversation that was going on. And it stirred a lot of conversation on our campus since we were in such proximity. And when I came into the office following that weekend, my assistant, Melody Wilson, had mentioned it to me. And I said, well, let's bring some of the staff together. Let's just talk about it, right? Because I think a lot of times folks grow up not having to wrestle with or understand or deal with issues of race and some of the hatred that's associated with that and the stereotypes and the biases, both personal racism and structural racism. So we convened that group, and then it spurred from my division. Others on campus soon heard about it, and we finally eventually opened it up to faculty, staff, and students. And again, I just had a conversation this morning with my assistant, Melody, where we were doing our planning for our 8th year.
Wow.
Today we're getting ready, you know, we're going to have our first meeting of the year this Wednesday, and we typically bring all those who are regular attendees to say, hey, look, what are the big issues that we want to talk about? So part of it is I'm convening folks. But other part of it is I'm really trying to get others involved in the conversation and give a space where people can say, I don't know anything about what I'm talking about. I'm scared to even bring this topic up. I really want to learn about this, but I don't know where to learn about it. And I think there's a lot that can be learned by having conversations with other people that are different than you. And so that's what we do. So we're going to have conversations this year, and every year we have a monthly theme, that talks about various aspects of culture. Typically, race is one of those things we talk about, but we also talked about genderism. We talk about disabilities. We talk about a lot of different types of social justice issues, and we typically try to read one book a year, and we also try to watch one film or documentary a year. So we're starting our 8th year, and we're super excited to get that started.
Keith, let me ask you, where's the starting point for understanding and appreciating our differences? Where is ground zero, sir?
Yeah, for me, almost everything for ground zero starts with yourself. I think if people were to really take time and pause for a minute and just think about what do we know, how do we know about people that are different than us? And then coupled with that is to think about, well, how do we come to know what we know? Was it because somebody told us? Because we heard something? Is what we heard or what we were told the truth? Was that the fact? And so I think it starts with being honest with yourself, saying, you know, having a spirit of curiosity. I think it always starts with the person in the mirror and looking at, well, what do I know and what can I learn? And I think if you have that sense of humility to start with, and you could just take time to say, I don't think I know everything about, let's just put an example out there. Like if I wanted to say I wanted to understand more about members of the Asian community, right, our brothers and sisters in the Asian community, and if I was to sit back and kind of give myself an assessment, I'd say, well, perhaps I don't know everything I need to know. What is the life experiences? What are the lived experiences? What are the challenges for folks that are Korean, for folks who are Chinese, for those who are Japanese, for those who are Philippines, and so on, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think we live in a day and age, Bill, where we have access to so many resources, so many diverse resources. There's membership organizations, there's groups within social media that we can connect with, and I suspect one of the best things I think people can do is just convene with people that are different with you. Try to have opportunities to interact with folks in a positive way, who don't have the same shared lived life experience, who come from a different background than you. And I think that's where you can start.
You know, I was reflecting as I was reading that Dr. King would be 95 years old. And I was reflecting in my mind as I read that, gosh, I wonder what kind of grade or report card he would give our progress when it comes to race relations in this country, Keith?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So one of the things I try to do, I did it again today, and I can't quote chapter and verse, but I reread, I'm a kind of a fan of his letter from a Birmingham jail, because that was written, I think, in April of 63. And, you know, I was an infant when that happened. And I remember the stories from my grandmothers, Velma McIntosh and Margaret Crawford, who used to just, you know, share stories of what it was like for them when they were young persons, right? And I could realize as a young kid the differences of what I was experiencing as a young black boy in the United States compared to what they were dealing with when they were the same age. And I think we fast forward to today, and I think all the things that, you know, Reverend Dr. King spoke about still seem to be in play.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the challenge is we think, you know, we've crossed some line and made some progress. But I think if anything, we've seen over the last couple of years, we've seen how that's not necessarily true. And I think we can, you know, one of the, in the spirit of Dr. King, you know, I was thinking about what he talked about was we need to understand that when we see things, what are the injustices that might be occurring for a different type of group of people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that connects back to, you know, that's something that I think he was really an advocate and a stalwart for, but I think the only way to know when there's going to be challenges for different kind of people is to have, like what I was saying at the top of our conversation, is to know and understand differences. So when you see or hear something, you can say, what lens should I be listening to this particular information with to help me understand how this might impact folks that are different from me, from different racial or ethnicities? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think during your intersections, and you said the eighth year will kick off actually tomorrow with your intersections program, is there a fear, perhaps a fear among some of the students of actually speaking up? Maybe they feel they'd look stupid or whatever.
Well, you know, I think I know we live in an era, to use some of the young folks' conversation, maybe cancel culture.
Uh-huh.
But I think, you know, one of the things that we do with intersection, I would say if there are fears, I'm not aware of those. One mm-hmm. of the things that we try to do, and I think it's very important when you try to convene a people to have some conversations, we start every meeting. It may sound repetitive for those who've been coming 8 years straight, but I strongly believe in it. And as the leader of the group and the one who facilitates it, it's very important to have ground rules. And one of our ground rules that I would say is this is going to be a respectful place.
Yes.
People can stumble. People can say things that might trigger you, but you need to be patient and give them some grace, because if we're going to shoot people down or we're not going to be able to give people an opportunity to learn, and none of us learn anything and get anything right the first time we see it. I said, you know, let's go back to simple conversations like tying your shoes. There may be people that figured out how to tie their shoes the first time, but I know I didn't. It took some time. It took them. My mom and dad had to be patient with
yes.
me, right?
Or riding yeah. a bike,
riding a bike,
learning to swim.
Or learning to swim. And so you think, well, those are challenging. Now think about if you've gone your whole life and you really never had an opportunity or conversation about things like race, it could be a very scary, daunting thing, right? So we want to make sure we're setting up an environment where you can come in and ask the questions, and people can try to, you know, wrap around and say, okay, let me help you understand where this is coming from. Because what I want folks to do is not to come once. I want folks to come back again and again and again, and that's something that we've had people, you know, if their schedule permits, they keep coming back and they keep engaging. And it's something that I 8 years later, as somebody who's, I read about this kind of information, I have conversations with folks around the country about it, I facilitate this conversation, I learn something each and every week because of the richness and the diversity of the folks that are in the room.
All right, Keith, stay on the line. We've got another segment with you. Keith McIntosh with us, Vice President for Information Services, Chief Information Officer at the University of Richmond in Virginia. We'll be right back after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare.
Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Fellowship Square is the best kept secret.
The first thing I noticed was the atmosphere. It was peaceful and very pleasant and happy. We feel like we've got family.
It's a caring community, and you just get out and meet people. It's just a wonderful place to live.
At Fellowship Square, you'll find a warm community of like-minded people and compassionate staff. Call 520-886-5537 to schedule a tour.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, urging everybody take the three-hour drive over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a great getaway. Find out more. Visit southwestnewmexico.org, O-R-G, for more information about all the many recreation activities. Great places to stay and some great places to eat as well in downtown and historic. All that beautiful Victorian architecture in Silver City. You'll have a great time over in that part of the Land of Enchantment. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, our live line for our telephone interviews, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We've been talking about race relations with Keith McIntosh, Vice President for Information Services and Chief Information Officer at the University of Richmond in Virginia, where Keith created the Intersections Program. Students, faculty, and staff get together. They meet weekly for a cross-cultural conversation. They'll be starting their eighth year of this program, actually, tomorrow. Keith, I want to talk a little bit about building allies and how that is important, allies and support when we have these discussions about race.
Yeah, I really appreciate the conversation. You know, and I think, you know, connecting to the top of the hour, when we're thinking about the understanding of our differences, I think we need folks to, especially who are not in a certain community, to be able to step up and lean in and provide their support, right? And, you know, Dr. King in the letter, in his letter from a Birmingham jail, he spoke about complacency and doing nothing, and it was something that he was imploring at the time, you know, white moderate folks to step up and do something, because doing nothing was almost worse. And I think maybe we don't have as severe or drastic a situation as they were in Dr. King's times, but I do believe strongly in becoming a good ally is extremely important, right? We need to encourage folks, you know, to step up, step forward. Each of us have a capacity to do something in support of somebody else, right? So once you know something and you know how to what a challenge is, then lean in to figure out what it is you can do, right? A lot of times I think folks think allyship is something that's really big and lofty or heroic, and it really isn't. Really, it's just somebody who recognizes that I have a position, I have a status, I have a knowledge, and I can stand up and I can advocate for those who are being oppressed or discriminated against, right? You can provide your support. Sometimes that's like through material assistance, giving your money. You could also, or giving your time, you can give emotional and practical type of support. But I think it's really heart and soul to me. It's part of being just a good human being, right? I think once you know and understand differences in folks and you understand the challenges they face, you can step up and then lean in and become an ally. And I have more to say about it because I have a really good friend who says it better. Her name is Dr. Karen Catlin, and she's written a couple books, and I've had an opportunity. She was a guest at Intersections, and I'm going to share some stuff a little bit later about what she says about it.
You know, you brought up a word, respect, and I've always tried to be very respectful of the people I am talking to on the radio, and before that in my days in television. I always wanted to respect the audience. I think that's something that we need to push to the forefront.
I absolutely do, too, and I think civil discourse is, you know, when you think about Dr. Martin Luther King, one of the things I really admire for him is his thing about civil disobedience, right? Mm-hmm. It might be lost in folks today, but, you know, at the core of civil disobedience is really just thinking about using the facts, having good negotiation skills, and then having basically nonviolent ways to kind of convey and demonstrate some of the challenges and what you want to see happen in the future. And I think we get to the reasons why they had to have such nonviolent actions during Martin Luther King's time, because I think there was a lack of respect. There was a lack of dignity. And you can almost see some of that coming to fruit today, to bear today, because I see today where we are shouting down one another. Mm-hmm. We're not taking time to listen to other person's views. We're categorically saying just because you have a view or you are of a certain belief, then I'm just going to categorically dismiss everything that you say as untruth. And more importantly, you can almost see where folks are moving to stronger emotions such as hatred and, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, things like that. And I, you know, what in life is really of that level of challenge? I think we should be able to sit down. It's one of the things I try to practice on my campus. I've had people ask me to step up and maybe be more of an activist in my life, but I think the principle of Dr. King, I really resonate with me. I'm really about bringing people together, having respectful dialogue and understanding, and do it in a way that you can respectfully disagree. And I know it's not easy. I've sat across from folks, I was like, you know what? We've talked for an hour, and I don't think I've been convinced of anything that you've said, and you've not been convinced of anything that I've said, but let's go have a drink together. Let's go have a meal together. You know what I mean?
Yep. Keith, we're going to have to leave it right there. Keith McIntosh at the University of Richmond. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, Keith. Thank you.
Always. Thank you very much, Bill. Take care.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Mr. Keith McIntosh and John, engineering and producing my program, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well.